Artist Friends Podcast.
Hi, I'm Diane Hunt. I am an impressionist realist painter connecting with nature through my brush. I work in oil paint and watercolor, and I live in the countryside of Maryland's Eastern Shore, not far from the Chesapeake Bay. You can find me online at dianehuntstudio.com. and on Facebook and Instagram at Diane Hunt Studio.
Hi, I'm Constance Brosnan of Steve Brosnan's Jewelry Designs. I live in Oklahoma on a prairie, and I make handmade jewelry in silver, copper, and brass. I'm an artist that paints. I paint pastels and in oil sometimes.
Hello, this is Bob J. Gale. I'm the host of this podcast. I am a emerging representational artist. I do historic renderings, seascapes, landscapes, botanicals, birds, and whatnot. The tight illustrative hand in watercolor, pen and ink, and acrylic paints. And I live in Oklahoma City. And welcome to another episode of the Artist Friends Podcast. My name is Clyde J. Kale, and you are listening to episode 91 for April the 5th, 2021, our first episode for the month of April. And I'm here with my two best artist friends, Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson. Hello, Diane.
Hi, Clyde. Hi, Constance. Hello, everyone.
Hello, Constance.
Hi, Clyde. Hi, Diane. Hello, everybody.
Glad to see you. Glad to have you join me. And I hope you had a happy Easter. Everybody have a good Easter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Peaceful.
Yeah. Before we got recorded, folks, we were telling stories about our kids, you know, growing up. The thing. Time almost got away from us. Since, wait a minute, we better start recording this podcast. We're having too much. For our listeners, if you go to www.talkartpodcast.com, that's talkartpodcast.com. You'll see the information link for our discussion videos. And this week we are going to start the month off with talking a little bit about our studio practice and, you know, how we create art and how we're motivated. And two of the videos is from our friend Mikey of Jerry's Artorama. He talks about in the first one, little short 10-minute videos. The first one is when you can call yourself an artist. Diane, when did you call yourself an artist, or when did you feel?
That was a really hard thing for me for some reason. I felt really, I don't know. It took me a long time to be able to call myself an artist. It probably wasn't until maybe 5 to 7 years ago, something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's pretty recently. Like, not, you know, in comparison to how long I've been doing art. But I don't know. I didn't have the confidence, I guess. It's just, I just didn't feel, I felt like I had to reach a certain level, I guess, before I could do that, before I could call myself an artist. Hmm. It was really strange.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. Yeah. Because, yeah, your art is so, yeah, good. And you've got everything for a while. And that's interesting. Constance, what about you? When did you start calling yourself an artist? Right from the get-go, or did it take you a while?
No, from the get-go, when I was young. I mean, even though I popped in and out of making art or drawing or whatever, I always would pick up a pencil and practice. But, yeah, pretty much all my life I call myself an artist.
Hmm. I've made art all my life, but I'll be honest with you. If I met strangers, complete strangers, they asked me what I do for a living, or, you know, I would never say that I was an artist. but it's only been recently. It was after when we took that Paul Klein course. You know, I don't know if you guys remember when I made a statement or something. I said I was a beginning artist, and right in front of everybody, remember Paul cut me down. He says, "So you only recently started making art?" Well, no, I've been doing art my whole life. Not a beginning artist. You're an emerging artist. Oh, okay. So, you know, I had to learn all the terminology. And it wasn't until after completing the course that I was so motivated that I went out and got some business cards made up business cards that said, "I'm an artist." And now I confidently will, you know, hand out business cards. Strangers ask me what I do. I said, like, you know, I go get my hair cut, and at least before the pandemic, yeah. And they would say, "Well, so what do you do?" And I said, "Oh, I'm an artist." "Oh, really?" And I'd pull a business card out and hand it to them. Yeah. So, but I did not feel like you, Diane. I didn't feel confident. You know, I was a guy that drew, that could draw and could paint once in a while. Of course, there for about 27 years, I didn't do anything until my daughters started harping on me to get me started up again. But, it was just something that I did. Yeah. I had a talent. Yeah. I didn't think of it as a career or as a living. And maybe it was because I didn't have the confidence, and meeting you guys, thankful, you two both have given me the confidence. Yeah, I'm an artist. I like the Mikey's definition. He says, basically he said, if you create art, you're an artist, period. You don't need somebody to tell you that. If you draw or paint or something, and it doesn't make any difference if people think it's good or not, the fact that you created it, you're an artist. That's an artist. Yeah, and of course, there's different levels of artists, but still, in the basic sense, you're an artist. And for some of our listeners out there that are artists that don't call themselves artists, you're an artist. Show your work to the people. Let people know. And the second video from Mikey, I really liked when he was talking about some of the materials, is how to up your art game. Diane, was you familiar with some of those materials that he was presenting, you know, in that video? Or?
Yeah, I haven't used all of them, but I knew about them all. But I think that's kind of, you go through like the catalogs or, you know, online to these art store supply stores, and you see all the different surfaces you can work on, all the different mediums you can use. I mean, there's like a bunches of different manufacturers for all that stuff. So it's, and once in a while you might try something new, you know, see what it's like. You heard somebody talk about it, suggested, or, and you say, "Well, okay, I'll try it and see what happens." But so it's
all my recommendations come from you two, and the materials that both of you have mentioned to me, recommended 100%. And I'm not prone to experiment. I don't like spending money on something and have it turned out really like crap. So if enough people say, "Yeah, this is good, try it, give it a," then okay, I'll give it a shot. And I've been very lucky. Things have worked out really well. Constance, what about you? You recognize some of the materials that he was talking about?
Yeah, I had bought some of that Chelsea stuff. I did know about the difference between the oil primed and the acrylic prime canvases, but I've always used acrylic primer until lately when I experimented with some rabbit skin glue and that stuff you mix into it for the gesso. I'm not really happy with that service, so I don't know if I'm going to revisit that or not. But it was fun to experiment. I mean, how do you know you like something or don't like it until you try it? You know, so...
Yep. And I was really interested when he was talking about between the oil paints and the acrylic paints, because since I'd never had a, you know, I haven't had a good budget, you know, money to purchase really, you know, outstanding material. I've always used stretch canvases hope my listeners don't get upset at this. Because I didn't have a budget, and when I started painting again, of course, I bought my materials from Walmart. And I used to buy those Walmart stretch canvases, which were made in China. They're okay for painting acrylic, but when I started to paint oil, I noticed that the canvas kind of soaked up the oil. So until I was able to buy me some good canvases, which I did, I found a company out in California that makes those, it's called, I think, Artist Brand, something like that. They make good, they're double primed canvases. And those are just exceptional for my oil paints. But what I would get with the cheap ones is that I would have to paint an acrylic glaze over the top of them before I even started painting oil paints. And luckily, I don't have very many of those left. I've got the good kind now. So,
well, what I like to do is sometimes though, when I'm in a pinch and I want to paint and I don't have the size or whatever, I will go to Walmart's and get the frames and peel the canvas that they have on there off and stretch some cotton duck, or because you can get cotton duck there too that's good enough to paint on, so, and do your own gessoing yourself, or linen. You know, sometimes I'll get linen, but you can't get linen like that at Walmart, but you can get it, you know, from different places and stretch it and then gesso it yourself, because I like that surface better than the canvas that they put on those Walmart things. I don't know what that stuff is made of. It looks like cheesecloth with something sprayed over the top of it. So I always peel that off and restretch the frame.
What's interesting is the canvases I ordered from that company out in California, they only cost about a dollar more than the Walmart. So hey, it's worth it.
Yeah. But if you're in a pinch and you want to paint something, if you have the equipment to stretch the canvas, you can run down there and get some, and just peel that stuff off and put your own on. And then within a day, you can have the canvas ready to paint on.
When I was a kid, I used to stretch, but no, I don't have the patience. I don't do that now.
I do like to stretch on canvases and linen.
I don't get buy the frames, then buy the canvas in a row. And then I used to stretch it, and I take tacks and, you know, and nail it down. It's because I couldn't.
I used a staple gun.
Lucky I had to borrow money from my mother, you know, to buy. So I had to, I couldn't even get a staple gun. I had to use tacks with a hammer.
Yeah. I have some tacks, and I've started doing the tack thing, but I always had the staple gun. And before, you know, cause it was cheaper to just buy let me tell you, when I first started out, I didn't even use that. I used to live on this orchard that had plums, a plum orchard out in California, and they would prop the branches up with this wood when they started getting really heavy with the plums. I stole those prop what they used to prop those things with, and made stretchers out of them and stretched my canvas on that for, you know, because I was broke then. When you're that young and you're in college, you're broke, you know, so I just did what I could to make something to paint on, you know.
I was in college, I painted on brown paper.
You thought it was
just
that.
You know, seal it and paint it on that. Like I used to use the paper bags that they have in the grocery stores.
Yeah. And you can gesso that, and it works pretty good.
Yeah, you have to. I use rabbit skin glue on them and a varnish, and it would seal the surface, and then gesso on top of it and paint.
Yeah.
I used to go into like secondhand stores too and get old sheets and stretch the sheets on. I mean, I couldn't afford stuff either, so that's what I was doing.
You get really inventive when you're like,
yeah, it works. It's good enough. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, you're just learning anyway, so it's not stuff that's going to be like a masterpiece or anything anyhow. Yeah. So, you know, it's, but yeah. Yeah, I've used those cheaper Walmart things and,
but yeah,
you know, whatever. It all works.
Yeah.
Some extent,
it does.
For what you're doing.
This course with Kelly Folsom. I use this, they're called canvas sheets. What they are is just a pad of 11 by 14s, and I can wrap them around a board for backing and tape it, you know, so I get the 8 by 10 size. And when I get done, I just have to just, you know, when it's dry, I just unwrap it and take a pair of scissors and, you know, cut it out. And they're good enough because it's a good enough surface where it accepts the oil and it, you know, painting surface. And they're, you know, they're like $15 for a pad of 25 of them, you know, in a pad. So they,
I think the canvas underneath those are better than the stuff at Walmart, but yeah. I rip that stuff off of the stretchy wires and put cotton duck on it, you know.
Now then we had a couple of videos from Stephen Bauman. I love that video when he says, "Stop painting things." So Diane, do you paint things?
No, not generally. It's true. Like you usually are geared towards the way light hits something or shadows, or you don't like when you're painting, you block stuff in, you don't really look at objects like you kind of block it in and you break it down further and further, so it's, you're not really looking at trees or, you know, a house or whatever you're painting. You're
trying to figure out what color is that bark.
Blocks and the way the light hits things and shadows and things. You're not,
where he's coming from. He said it's the light and the shadows, you know, that make up the painting. And if you sit there and you try to render that bottle, and it may look like a bottle, but if you don't really catch the way the light hits the bottle and bounces off, maybe the shadow that give you the form, it's, you know, so that's what you should be looking at. And that's the emphasis of his video. And then his next step, he re-emphasized, we had gone through this before, his 12 keys. Of course, these are his recommendations. There's obviously more, but his recommendation, 12 keys to a successful painting. And gave a little more insight as to, you know, how he came up with those. And, you know, one day, not now, I don't think I'm ready, but one day I think I'm going to sign up with some coaching with Stephen Bauman, because I really like his approach, which is why I like Kelly's approach, because hers is, you can tell they follow the old masters, the techniques of the masters, which, you know, is not taught anymore, you know, and the emphasis of, like when he talks about, you know, artists say, well, you know, I want to learn how to paint loose. But then when he tells them what to do, they say, well, wait, that's sloppy. That's not, they're missing the whole point. You know, you put one stroke down, you know, with your paint.
Yeah, I'm kind of the school that if you want a photograph of something, take the camera out and get a photograph. But paintings to me should be painterly.
I've got a lot of respect for the realism artist.
Oh yeah, it's not an easy thing to do, but I mean, that's why there's so many different artists with so many different styles, is because you paint in the style that you like to paint in. Even though somebody might be painting the same painting as you are, it's going to have a different result in the end because of your painting style.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's like with this classes with Kelly, you know, she'll record her, you know, in the vital art session, 30-minute video, and she'll paint from live while she's recording video. But then for the lesson, she'll take a photograph of the setting, two photographs, photograph of the setting, and then a photograph of her painting, the results, so for us to, you know, to look at. And then encourage us to post it on their the Vital Arts webpage, you know, our Facebook page. And it is so interesting to see the different styles of the art. It's the same same items, but some people just way, you know, in my opinion, way off. And other people are, you can see some people who really try to do it real realistic, and and real tight.
That's people's different people's painting styles. That's all.
You can tell it's been hours, but then, you know, Kelly has mentioned in her video, you know, that you should try to limit your time. And by limiting your amount of time you spend on it and also doing a la prima, you're learning to make every brushstroke count, make every mark count, and it will improve. And I started following that, and it is so true, you know. So most of the lessons, I usually end up completing them within 40 minutes to an hour. As before, I was really trying to get it exactly like, you know, and it would be 2 hours later, you know, and then I would let it dry a little bit and then I'd go back to it. No. That's not the point of the lesson. The point of the lesson is, and incorporate into all that is, you know, the 12 keys of Stephen Bauman, you know, looking for the light and the composition. And what's nice is, when you're doing Kelly's lesson, she's already handled the composition. You don't have to worry about that. The composition is all, you know, correct.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I think you can learn from seeing her setups.
Absolutely.
It helps you get to that place where you want to be when you set something up yourself.
In fact, like I said, a good test for me, if she's a good teacher, and the reason why I like her and the reason why I follow Stephen Bauman, I've been able to incorporate in my independent works the things they talk about. Not always 100%, but far. I mean, I have felt like I've been so very successful. I've crossed the, you know, raised the bar with each painting, as Stephen Bauman says. Is each painting is practice for the next painting.
Yeah, it is.
Man, you want to add to this? You've been kind of quiet.
No, I think it's when you work a la prima and you're limiting your time, it's the same way with plein air painting. It forces you to not think so much and to eliminate a lot of the detail that you wouldn't have time for. So it forces you to focus on the things that are necessary to depict what you're trying to show,
mm-hmm.
You know, and so you save your brush strokes and you're not nitpicking at every little detail and, you know, trying to get every little hair or whatever, you know, it's just like,
yeah, by the time you do all that, the light's changed and you're in trouble.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's value in doing that.
And well, that's like, I've been taking this, online course, with Steve Houston, drawing course. And that's what he talks about. He emphasizes, when you put a time limit on yourself, he's been doing these, every Thursday, he calls them jaw and draw. And he'll put a Zoom screen. And as he's talking, we're supposed to be drawing that. If we participate in the live session, and I've done that the last a couple of times, and it's just been wonderful. These sessions are only an hour long. So I've been working charcoal, and I give myself until, the hour's up. And then when he says goodbye, that's it. I don't touch it anymore. Rather if I like it or not. And I want to go back and I want to correct this. I want to correct that. That's not the point. The point is to, you know, to give yourself, to learn to focus your eye on the form, what's important, what line, you know. And then his philosophy is, you know, make every mark count. Just like Kelly Folsom says, make every brushstroke count. And Stephen Bauman says, make luscious paint count.
He is about the luscious paint brushes, paint strokes, yeah.
Paint with luscious paint. Kelly says juicy paint. Yeah.
Juicy, yeah. Juicy. It's so juicy.
Yeah. And
but I think it's kind of true when you get to the highlights. Sometimes when you put some extra paint on there, because then with the a la prima, if you've already got paint there and you don't, you know, you save that highlight spot for the highlight, you know, but yep. You usually have to put on extra to get it to stick.
But that gets into, you know, when I mentioned the quirky things of an artist. That's it. Most, you know, the viewers, you know, they just see the end result, but they don't see the quirky, you know, that as we're going, like, you know, I've heard different artists say, and I've said it myself, man, I struggled with this. And of course, a stranger would go, struggle? Why? What was the struggle? You know, and don't get, you know, what,
some paintings you can just finish them just like that. And then other paintings you set up and, or do, and you'll just, it'll fight you tooth and nail the whole until you get it finished, you know, so.
Yep.
Every painting's different.
It gets to, especially the young artists starting out, they said, how do you know when it's done? Well, that comes from, and Kelly Folsom emphasizes this, you got to put the brush miles in.
Experience, that's what I'll say.
You will know when it's done, when you've been doing it for a while and you reach a certain point that you just, okay, it's done. I have a tendency, if I'm not careful, was I'll go back and work it over when I should just not touch it.
I pulled one off the easel today. I didn't like where it was going, so I just snatched off of there and rubbed paint all over the front of it and cover it up. We're probably going to have to sand it down a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think I would do this, but I'll admit I've done a couple that I've painted over the top. I've painted something else over the top because I've needed the canvas. The canvas panel. Yeah. Canvas panels are easy to do that. Yeah. You know, like you said, you just, you know, sand, if you got some bumps on there, just sand down the bumps and put some coat of gesso on it and you're good to go.
Well, if it's oil paint, you can't put a gesso on it unless it's oil prime. I guess, can you put oil prime gesso on? The only gesso I've ever had has been acrylic.
If you sand it, it'll give it back a tooth for the gesso to stick to. You can't do that if you varnish the painting, though. It doesn't,
right.
It'll work for a while, but it'll probably fall, you know, flake off after a while.
Yeah. I just,
most of mine, there's ones that I did oil on top of acrylic. You know, these were acrylic paintings. So, you know, I've never had to, you know, what I've done is the one that I recently that I reused the canvas was there with the acrylic. It was very flat. There wasn't very many bumps. So I didn't have to. And then I just, I used an acrylic white to cover it all up. And then after it got dried, then I painted the oil and it worked just fine. And the oil stuck to it, and you know it.
Yeah, you can't go oils and then acrylics, but you can go acrylics and then oils.
So I haven't
painted my oil. Some of my acrylic paintings, the abstract ones, I sanded them down just for effect. You know.
You know, that one painting that a few episodes I talked about that I entered in a contest. The one abstract that I done that I won an award for. The abstract that my mother didn't like. I was talking to her the other day, and I told her, I said, Mom, you won the war. I said, I don't care. I don't want to buy it, but there's cool paint on there. And no. I couldn't picture that was a good painting.
Well, everybody has their own taste, so.
She's a representational art lover. If she can't figure out what it is, she don't like it. No matter how pretty the colors are, you know, because she did admit, yeah, they are pretty colors, but nah.
Not for her.
Okay, let's wrap this episode up. I hope our listeners enjoyed some of our quirky talk of you know, being an artist and talking about art material. And this has been episode 91 for August, April the 5th. 2021, and I've been talking here with Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson, and I'm going to say bye-bye to Diane and bye to Constance. Let Diane say goodbye to everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye, Constance. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Clyde. Good night, Diane. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening.
As always, I second that. Thank you so much for listening, and please give us some feedback. Give us a star, star rating, and a thumbs up, however you listen to the podcast. And if you're an artist and you feel comfortable about joining us, please join us. Hey, at www.talkartpodcast.com. That's talkartpodcast.com. There's the room link. I post every week what we're going to discuss, and the Zoom room information is there for you to join us and the time. Bye-bye, folks. Until next episode.
The Artist Friends Podcast is produced and edited by Clyde J. Kale. Participating artists, Diane Hunt and Constance Bronson, and Clyde J. Kale. You can find more information about Diane Hunt at www.dianehuntstudio.com. Constance Bronson at www.etsy.com/shop/CBROSNANS. Clyde J. Kale at www.cjkaleartworks.com. If you would like to participate or appear as a guest on the Artist Friends Podcast, please email cjkale@mystery-otr.com. If you enjoy these podcasts, please give us a thumbs up or a star rating. And most of all, send us your comments. This podcast is issued under the Creative Commons license.